Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Sport of Kings podcast. On this pod, we cover the Wood Memorial, the Santa Anita Derby, and the late pick four at Keeneland on Saturday, April 3rd. This is show number 114, April 2nd, 2021. I'm Scott Carson, founder of Sport of Kings, and I'm joined by my co-host, Hall of Fame handicapper, Chris Larmy. Chris, are you getting Derby fever?
Oh, I've got it. There's no doubt. I mean, this weekend's always one of the funnest weekends of the year because you have, you know, major preps all over the place. And also, you know, opening weekend at Keeneland. Spring is in the air. It was in the 70s yesterday here. So, yeah, I've got spring fever. I've got Derby fever. I've got Keeneland fever. And I've got Keeneland Sport of Kings contest fever. So why don't you tell the listeners about that special contest that kicks off today?
Well, funny you should mention the Keeneland Spring Challenge because it does start today. And hopefully the pod will get out early enough that people who don't know already have a chance to sign up. It's one race per day for the entire meet, free DRF PPs. And usually it's going to be a stakes race or whatever the best race is on that day. And the top prize is $3,000 entry to the Keeneland Fall BCBC NHC Challenge. So, you know, it's all free. There's the only thing that you're risking is spending a little bit of time, one race a day.
Yeah, free PPs and the free contest and a great prize. I mean, that's one of the premier contests that, you know, all the serious players out there are trying to circle and hope to attend. And now I think that at least this first spring contest at Keeneland there, you can actually play online even if you can't travel to Keeneland. But hopefully by the fall, everybody will be sort of back in travel mode. And I would encourage anybody who's never been to Keeneland and is a racing fan, you know, you've got to go there. That has to be on your bucket list. It's just a great place to enjoy a day of racing. And they really treat the contest players well. Jim Goodman, you know, knows how to treat the players. And to me, that should be a destination everybody looks to try to make, you know, that trip at least once in their lifetime as a horse player.
Absolutely. And I'm going to be going to Keeneland next week. Looking forward to visiting Lexington and seeing the NTRA and seeing Jim and a lot of horse players. A lot of people are going to be there and it's going to be fun.
Yeah, I envy you. I'm not ready to travel yet. I haven't quite put COVID stuff behind me. I want to get vaccinated before I get on a plane. That's just my own personal choice. but I would love to be with you at Keeneland. You know that. We've had a lot of good times there in the past. So good luck in that contest. Take it down.
Thank you. Since you're not going to be there, I have a chance.
It's a hybrid contest. I played from home last year and did pretty well in that contest.
Oh, are you playing from home?
I haven't decided for sure, but more than likely, yes.
I'll okay.
We can finish 1-2, right? That'll be fine. That'll be a good exacta.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, you finished second to Stephen Thompson last year and maybe you'll finish second to me this year.
Oh, the gauntlet has been tossed down.
Play in the Sport of Kings NHC Qualifier starting every month. Each month, the top 50 players who are NHC Tour members advance to Round 2, which is Breeders' Cup weekend. In that final, 450 players will duke it out, playing all 14 Breeders' Cup races. Two people will win a seat to the NHC, and the top 100 will get Tour points. Join the NHC Tour before any monthly Round 1 begins. If you join the Tour, you could win up to 20 seats to the NHC in free contests. For only $50, it's the best deal in racing. If you sign up for the tour, use promo code SPORTOFKINGS so we get credit. If you haven't signed up for our free contest with free DRFPPs, go to sportofkings.net right now. Thank you and good luck. And we have a special third-time guest. He's a professional horse player. He's qualified for the NHC 16 times and finished fourth one of those years. He's Duke Matisse. Duke, welcome back to the show.
Thanks, Scott. Great to be here. Hopefully we can give out some good advice for these big races this weekend.
So what tracks have you been focusing on lately? Like, I know, you know, Santa Anita is running so rarely. Like, where's your action going?
Yeah, believe it or not, I'm into Turf Paradise a little bit lately. So I'm doing Gulfstream, Aqueduct, Santa Anita, Turf Paradise. I've kind of given up on Oaklawn. I've gotten killed there this year, so I've kind of given up on that. So, but okay, Turf Paradise has been my sneaky track.
Now, is Paul doing figs for Turf Paradise?
Oh, yeah, he does. He does. He does like 60 tracks. He does them all, including some foreign ones too.
Wow, I don't know how he fits that in, Okay. Chris, did you have any questions for Duke?
I was just going to say, I used to live a few miles away from Turf Paradise. That was my home track for a while. It was better racing at the time. It was a much nicer track back then. That was many years ago. But unfortunately, Arizona racing is kind of as dysfunctional as it gets. But
they got lucky because no New Mexico this year. No Sunland and what was the other track down there that runs usually? But anyway, they got all those guys kind of shipped all their horses out there.
Yeah, there was definitely, they benefited from some of those circumstances. So anyway, that's interesting that you're playing that track regularly and sounds like you're having some success. But unfortunately, or fortunately, we're not covering any races from Turf Paradise today. But I'm sure you'll give us some good. Yeah. But I'm sure.
Is Turf Paradise closer to Tucson or Phoenix?
No, it's in North Phoenix, very north end. I used to live in Scottsdale. It's right on the border of Scottsdale. And at the time, there was really nothing out in that area other than Arabian horse farms. This is back for a while, the Arabians were really hot. In Phoenix, they had farms all over. Now there's new freeways and, you know, it's all built over. But at the time, it was kind of like out in the boondocks almost, at the north end of the town. Yeah.
Well, hopefully Churchill won't buy it and then sell it for real estate development.
It's definitely worth more real estate than as a racetrack right now. There's no doubt about that.
Such is the state of our industry. All right, well, let's do the races today. We're doing six races. We're going to do the Wood Memorial from Aqueduct. We'll do the Santa Anita Derby. And then we're going to do the Late Pick 4 from Keeneland. And the first race is the 10th at Aqueduct. It's the Grade 2 Wood Memorial, a mile and an eighth on dirt, purse of $750,000 for three-year-olds. And Duke, why don't you get us started?
All right. This is a very competitive race, I think. I think the interesting horse, you know, that is in here is Brooklyn Strong, who I'm not sure why they decided to just train him up into this race. Seems a little bit much to ask about, you know, horse to go a mile and an eighth off the layoff against top-notch three-year-olds. But he's a nice horse. I mean, he beat that Pletcher horse, I think, that came back and won the
Known Agenda.
Yeah, Known Agenda. Yeah, I mean, so he's solid. I just don't know. It might be a little bit too much to ask. To do this, I think Crowded Trade, I think, is the better one of Chad's, although that Irad is on Risk Taking, which is kind of surprising, but maybe because Ken Sell's been in New York, maybe he wrote them both, maybe he got a choice. I'm not sure about that, but I like Crowded Trade best. And prevalence, I think, is an interesting, you know, horse. It again might be a little much to ask, but he has been, I mean, nothing but, I mean, sensational really in his two starts. So I think I'm going to lean on Crowded Trade with prevalence as a second choice.
Okay, so Brooklyn Strong, just interesting, not a pick.
Yeah, not a pick. He's just, I mean, I don't know what to do with him because it's just, I'm not used to these guys trying to train these horses off, you know, 4 months into, you know, 4 or 5 months into races like this. I mean, some guys can do it, but I just don't, I don't necessarily want to bet on a horse that's like that. You know, it's just, he could win. He could be great. Who knows?
Yeah, I would put him in the contender section. Yeah, Chris, definitely. Where did you land?
Well, I have a question for Duke before I weigh in. And that is, I know you follow biases quite a bit. And since you've been following Aqueduct, what do you think about the rail draw in this two-turn race at Aqueduct? Is that good, bad, neutral, typically?
It's been good lately. Believe it or not, New York has had an inside bias for about a month. I mean, it just came out of nowhere. They haven't had that in a long time. And then the month of March was pretty much inside speed did well. So I don't think there's anything wrong with the inside draw at all. So I wouldn't put that against them.
That's good to know, because I agree with most of what you said, and I think Brooklyn Strong is the you know, potential price play. I think the layoff will build the price in, and you know, the low key connections will build the price in. So to me, there's no reason why he couldn't win, and he'll probably be a much better price than the other horses you mentioned. The only other real contender you didn't mention was Weyburn, who I have a fondness for because I bet on him in his last race when he won it.
That was a good bet.
But, you know, I think that was the time to have him. And, you know, he ran his big race off the layoff. I don't know if there's a lot of room for improvement. He could win, though, but I just think, you know, you're not going to get the same value, whereas Brooklyn Strong, you know, he's probably you know, if we talk about this all the time on the pod, these horses develop rapidly, you know, from 2 to 3, and that 4 months, this horse should be a much faster horse than he was 4 months ago if he's fit. That's the big if. You know, this is a trainer, you know, unlike some of the trainers that I'm more familiar with, I don't know if this guy can get him dead fit off workouts to go a mile.
Well, at 61 to 180 days, he's hitting at 33% with a 337 ROI.
That's pretty good.
In the last 2 years.
And that's definitely the trend in training, you know, that these guys would rather, you know, just get them ready in the mornings and not try to get them ready through racing. So I'm leaning, you know, as my pod pick, I don't have, you know, strong preference for Brooklyn Strong, but I think from a price standpoint, he's probably the value. There's no reason why he couldn't win if he's fit and ready. And if the rail is a favorable draw, you know, typically two turn races with a short run to the first turn, it's an advantage, but especially if there's some sort of bias as well, you know, being on that rail draw would be good. He has tactical speed. He won't be on the lead probably, but I mean, he should be forwardly placed, you know, not too far off. And if he saves ground all the way around and gets a lane late, there's no reason why he couldn't win. So I'll go with number one, Brooklyn Strong.
Okay. And he's also working out pretty well. His best 5-furlong workout, March 20th, and a nice 6-furlong workout, 113-2 on March 27th. So, I think this horse is absolutely used. The horse I went with was a Pletcher. It's Dynamic One. He's going to be a price off only a maiden win, but it was a good race. And, he's kind of like a Known Agenda, where he ran big when he was back on Lasix, but he got a good figure when he wasn't on Lasix last year at the end of the year. He looks like he's ready to improve, and he's got tactical speed, and there's not that much speed in this race. I'm not sure if there's that much speed in this race, but I think he has a great shot. And then for the the Chads, the other horse that I would definitely use besides Brooklyn One, Brooklyn Strong and Dynamic One, is Risk Taking. He's kind of the lower priced horse that I want. I like the look of his line. He's got two wins at a mile and an eighth. And yeah, those are the three for me.
Anything else, Duke, you want to add?
It's definitely a competitive race. No, I think you guys mentioned all the contenders. I don't think the rest of them have much chance. Dynamic One is interesting because I had a huge trip on him two back at Gulfstream. He got a terrible trip that day, and then he just won easily. So you don't know how good he is. The Lasix thing worries me a little bit. Even like you said, Scott, he did have a good figure without Lasix, but that worries me a little bit coming off of it. But I think we covered the race pretty well. I do think Crowded Trade will turn on Weyburn this time. I thought Weyburn was in the right spot, like you said, at the right time and a big price. And I don't like him in this spot necessarily.
Yeah. The one thing I would add is I like Risk Taking. I think he could win this one. To me, he looks more like a Belmont horse. He really does look like the horse that, and maybe that could be why Irad's on. Just maybe he's thinking a little longer term. But to me, he definitely looks like a horse that, you know, should go longer. Like you said, he has a couple wins already at a mile and an eighth. So there's no surprise if he wins in here. He'll be a short price, so I don't really like him from a value standpoint. But, you know, I think he's an interesting New York-based horse that when it comes time for the Belmont, he'll be one of the ones I'll be looking at for sure.
Okay, well, we have six races, so we'll move on to the other side of the country. Duke's territory. It's the Run Happy Santa Anita Derby. It's race 8 at Santa Anita. It's a grade 1. It's a mile and an eighth on dirt, purse of $750,000 for 3-year-olds. And Chris, why don't you start it off this time?
Well, this is sort of like the Louisiana Derby in that I'm really, it's hard for me to be unbiased because I have a future wager on Medina Spirit at 38-1. So I lined up for a pretty nice score if that horse is to win the Derby. So I have a hard time being neutral when I really want this horse to run well. So it looks like I made a good bet heading into the Derby. And right now it's looking really good, but it would look a lot better if he runs a big race in here. So I'm very biased, but I do think he's a really nice horse. I think his last race, he wasn't ridden to win. He didn't really get a chance. They kind of grabbed him so he wouldn't challenge Life Is Good early, and they steered him out so he could run some interference for a stablemate, and they actually ended up entrapping his Epiglottis. I'm guessing it's because he got jerked like that, and that makes me a little bit nervous, but he's really worked well since. And who knows, some horses, when they get, you know, a minor procedure to address that, they improve dramatically. I don't think he really needs to improve dramatically, but it'll be interesting to see what he does in here. I mean, I thought that race was better than it looked for the reasons I said. The race prior to that, I thought was really good, where he battled through some insane fractions and it just kind of rebroke at the end and won. And his race before that, where he almost ran down Life Is Good after kind of seeding the lead early like he had in his last start. So to me, you know, this might be the first time he's actually could get a good trip with Johnny V. He'll probably get the standard Hall of Fame trip for Johnny Velasquez, which is stalking a pace setter in the two path or the three path all the way around. I think he'll get that trip. The rider will be comfortable with that. I think the horse will be comfortable with that. And I think he's the best horse. But I also think there's some other real interesting horses in this race. So I'll be very interested to hear what you and Duke have to say. And there's some other, you know, horses I think are interesting. But I'm still all about Medina Spirit until he proves me wrong or right in this next race heading into the Derby.
Medina Spirit, no Life Is Good to trouble him anymore. Duke, where did you land?
That's a really good, I think that's a really good bet. It's 38-1 on a horse that's, you know, favored to win the Santa Anita Derby. I mean, if he wins the Santa Anita Derby, which he should, there's nothing in here that I don't think, I mean, he runs the best figures by a mile. over these horses. So, I mean, what a, I would think that's got to be value, I would think, going into the Derby, 38th line. He can't go off no more than, if he wins the race, he can't go off what? What can he go off in the Derby? 6-1, 7-1 at the most, right?
Yeah, and if Essential Quality, you know, falters, it, and we'll talk about that race in a little bit, you know, he may not, but if he did, you know, who knows? He could even be the favorite, yeah, depending on what Concert Tour does next week.
Yeah, it could be.
Or he could flop in here and or get hurt and my bet, and well, I never get to
sleep. We know anything can happen. That's true.
Yeah.
But I mean, he looks like the horse to beat. I got nothing against him. He's probably the, he's going to, like you said, he's going to get the right trip. He's going to stalk or go to the lead, one or the other. I just don't see much in here to stop him. I think if I had to take somebody to beat him, I think I'd maybe go with the horse that's only run on grass twice, and he's 2-2.
Rombauer?
No, Rock Your World. Just because he's unknown on dirt, and you know, who knows, maybe he's just as good on dirt. I just don't know, but he, I don't think he's going to be any value either, though. I just think Medina Spirit just, he'll be somewhere around 8-5. I think he'll just control this race pretty easily.
Okay. Rocky World is the price play. Well, I'm not any creative here. I'm with Medina Spirit. I've always liked the horse. I was figuring on him coming back to beat Life Is Good in his next race. And then, you know, Life Is Good went on the shelf. So I've always been impressed with him. I love that race where he was on the lead, setting a fast pace and still held on. And Hot Rod Charlie came out of that race and won where did he win? New Orleans? Louisiana Derby.
Louisiana Derby, yeah.
So, you know, and his last race, you know, Life Is Good freaked. And that's probably why you know, he's not running in this race. And, you know, he ran a perfectly good race. And I like him. And he's got a sizzling, you know, 59 bullet, best out of 34 since his last race. I'm keeping it simple here. I mean, I'm probably not betting this. I don't know if I'm going to be betting Santa Anita at all because I don't know if I'm going to have time to handicap it. But I know I'm not betting this race. Maybe as part of the pick five, but I would single this one.
Well, let's hope that we're right, because then if he can win this race impressively, win or lose my future bet, it was a good bet. I mean, all you can do when you bet is find value. You don't always get the result. And you can't really judge long term. You can go by the results, but any particular outcome, you know, you're just trying to make a good wager where you think you've got value. So that's what I think I have at this point with Medina Spirit, and it will look even better if he does run well. Just one comment I have on Rock Your World. I watched his workouts, and you know, I'm not an expert, but one of the things I've learned is, you know, the certain horses, there's a kind of a turf action, a turf stride, and that they kind of climb with their front legs and really hit the ground hard. You know, they're kind of, it's hard to describe, but you can see it. And you see a lot of the really good turf horses, you know, that's how they run. And to me, when I watched Rock Your World work out, that was, you know, the action that he had. He had that climbing action.
Yeah, it's very possible. He's just a turf horse. Who knows? They're just throwing, so, I mean, you know, they're giving it a shot. Who knows? It's a shot in the dark. And he's probably not going to be a big enough price for a shot in the dark. You know, that's the problem. You know, if he was 20-1, he might be worth it. But if he's 4-1,
hey, you know,
4-1.
Cigar had turf breeding too. So let's look at it that way.
You never know.
Yeah, you know.
No, it wasn't so much the breeding, although he does have turf breeding. It's just the action. He runs like a turf horse, not like a dirt horse. That's why I think he's less likely to, you know, excel on the turf. That's all I meant, just the way he looked. So, and like you said, it's all about price. But at a short price, you know, that's enough to kind of talk me off that horse.
Yeah, the dam was 0-4 on fast dirt, and No, and the sibling didn't try dirt yet. So anyway, yeah, but probably, you know, if the horse is a price, then it might be worth something. But
right.
At 4-1, you know, 4-1 is kind of tough to take.
Yeah,
I think the other interesting horse in that race, I don't know about this race, but I mean, you know, the two horse Dream Shake, that horse has some talent, and its last race, you know, given that they threw it to the wolves right off the maiden win, wasn't that bad. I don't know if it's good enough to win here or it'll beat Medina Spirit, but you know, I think that horse has a future going forward. There's some talent there. He might be a victim of Derby fever. We'll see. But I kind of like that horse from a talent perspective.
Well, the thing about Dream Shake is that he went, his second race was his first two-turn race, and he was only 2 1/4 lengths behind Medina Spirit. So, you know, that's pretty impressive. And he's got a 58-1 bullet out of 75 workout since then. So, you know, maybe he is something special.
Yeah, I mean, you're not getting the price. I wouldn't bet him, especially 7-2, if that's you know, the price you get. My guess is he might go a little higher, but from a talent perspective, that horse seems kind of interesting. Somewhere down the road, I think he'll run another big race. Maybe it'll be Saturday, but at some point, I think he'll run well again.
Okay, we'll move on to Keeneland, and we're doing their late pick four. And we'll start with the eighth race. It's the Shakertown Stakes, grade 2, 5.5 furlongs on turf. Always an exciting race, 200,000 for three-year-olds and up. Duke, what did you think?
Oh, this is one of those races that you got to find value somewhere in here, right? I mean, you got 13 sprinters on the grass, which, you know, I love these grass, these sprinters on the grass, because I used to own one of the good ones and pay any price. So, in Florida, and he retired recently. So I loved watching these grass sprints. Bound for Nowhere draws a really tough post, who I thought was probably the horse to beat. He draws 13 with a lot of speed to his inside. I think he's in trouble just because of the circumstance. I think if he drew inside somewhere in the 3-4-5 range, he would have definitely been the horse to beat. But now he draws out there, I'm definitely going to take a shot against him. I don't know exactly where to go. This is one of those races, I think, where you're going to have to use a bunch in the pick four, including, I'm going to go from inside to outside. I'm going to include Imprimis, who is a extremely nice sprinter. I'm not sure he liked Tampa so much last time. He kind of just never really got going. It was kind of a race where the speed held together. He just kind of was coming, but not his normal kick. But he's run at Keeneland before. He's won at Keeneland, and he's run against the best. And I'm definitely going to use him. After that, I'm going to use Turned Aside, who was also in that race. He pressed the winner in that race. That was the Critical Way. He's also he's in here, but he draws a tough post. He draws 12. So I'm going to use 2-5. I'm going to use Ken Saka, who's off a layoff for Grand Motion, but he's got plenty of races where he can come off the pace too. He doesn't need the lead, and there's lots and lots of speed in here. I'm also going to use Just Might. So I'm probably going to use those four in the pick four, because I'm just going to try to beat Bound for Nowhere, where I think he just draws a tough spot. And I think the Critical Way draws a tough spot, being 12.
Okay. Chris, what did you think here?
Well, I want to echo, first of all, that this race is just chock full of need the lead types. I mean, probably all but three or four of them want to be on the lead, and that's not unusual in a turf sprint, but this is one with 13 horses. That's a lot of horses going for the lead. And it is 5.5 versus 5. And for me, that's a big difference. And at 5 furlong, speed just totally dominates typically in these races. But at 5.5, it's a lot more of an equalizer, especially when you got a race full of speed horses. And like Duke said, you know, the outside post isn't always bad if there's only a couple of speed horses, because, you know, that way you're in the clear, and you, by the time they hit the turn, you can be, you know, over and in a good spot. But when you have 8 or 9 speed horses all doing that, being on the outside, you know, you're just not going to clear this field. So you're going to get parked wide. So I think that's, those outside speed horses are really up against it. And when the favorite, Bound for Nowhere, is one of those, and he's an ouchie horse who I think you can argue every year has gotten a little slower. And now as a 7-year-old, I don't see him getting back to his glory days. He's definitely a play against in here. So I'm totally with Duke in that regard. And the only thing I'd be a little, I differ a little bit is with Infamous. I think he's also kind of suspect, not from a race shape standpoint, because I think that actually plays in his favor quite a bit. So he should get a good trip, assuming he can avoid traffic problems. But if you look at his form, he's one that, you know, typically runs his best right off the layoff. And then he tails off and he never really runs another good one until he has time off again. And I think he's following that pattern here. His last few races haven't been that good, not nearly as good as the ones when he was fresh. And that's the way he's been running his last few years. So to me, you're probably not going to get his best effort in here. I'd be surprised. So the race is really wide open. There's not that many other horses that aren't speed horses, you know, that need the lead type in here. And I think the one to I landed on is a horse I've liked and played before, and that's one that Duke mentioned, and the 7-horse Kentaka. He's another ouchie sprinter, but he's another one of these that runs his best race right off the bench. That's where you're going to get his best race. He's more versatile than these others. He's run well sprinting, routing, dirt, turf, but they've kind of settled on him as a turf sprinter since he joined the Grand Motion Barn. And definitely his best race was last year, you know, off the layoff, where he, you know, stalked a fast pace, hit the lead at mid-stretch, and then just got nipped at the wire when Alexandra ran over the top to beat him. But Alexandra is a freight train in those turf sprints, and at 6 furlongs, you know, when she runs her A game, she's hard for anybody to beat. So there was no shame in that race. And I think that effort in this race probably wins, especially at 5.5. So, you know, to me, and from a value standpoint, because it's the long layoff, you know, you might get the 6-1 on the morning line in this big field. You know, Kentaka looks like not a super value play, but to me, kind of the logical play. And, you know, if I was going to pick an A horse in here in the picks, it would be the 7-horse Kentaka.
Okay. Yeah, that's a good observation about winning off the layoff. If he doesn't win off the layoff, he wins in the second race back. Anyway, I'm on 2 horses that Duke had. The first is Turned Aside, ran a big number 2 races ago. It was in his first race he was with Linda Rice, and I'm not sure what happened, but now, like, he's being trained by Mark Cassie. He ran an okay race in his last as a prep for this. I have to assume that wasn't the goal. It was off a layoff, and this is a $200,000 race. Shows his fastest workout ever into this, and he's got a good post, and I actually like the way he runs. He doesn't need the lead. He's kind of horse, though, that can be close behind that speed brigade and get first jump on other people, the other horses. So that's why I'm interested in him. I'm interested in Just Might, just because I think he might have just put it all together in the last few races. And he just matched his best number in his last, and he's had 6 weeks rest since then. And I think he'll have the lead. I mean, there's going to be a bunch of speed, but he usually can outstep the other speed. And I wouldn't take any other speed horse, let's put it that way. But I think he just might hang on. So those are the 2 horses that I'd be interested in here.
Yeah.
Anything else?
It's a very competitive race. I think you guys made good points on both those horses, I think, you know, and I'm definitely using them both. They both, I'm looking for horses in this race that can just sit just off of it. So, and I think you guys are too. And I just think that's the style that's going to win in this spot, you know, somebody that can just stalk and, or just sit right behind, or, you know, because I think the speed on the outside, being all that speed outside, it's just going to create, it's just going to create a, they have to go. I mean, where they can't get hung four or five wide going into that turn. So if they do, they're dead. So they, somebody's got to go on the outside. So it's going to create, I think it's going to create good trips for the 2, 5, 7, 9, those types of horses.
Yeah. And you guys have definitely converted me onto Kanthaka. So, so I'll use that horse too. I'll go three deep in whatever multis I play. Everything is also still potentially, you know, could change just because we still have 36 hours before the race. But, this, you guys make good cases for those horses. So let's move to the ninth race. It's the Central Bank Ashland Stakes Grade 1, 1/16 on dirt. Purse of $400,000 for three-year-old fillies. Chris, where are you at?
Well, I'm kind of chalky in here. I think the favorites look strong. Between the two, I would probably favor the three Simply Ravishing over the five Malphat, because Ken McPeak is pretty good at Keeneland with these fillies in grade one stakes. You know, he's kind of, this is sort of his local track. And, you know, this is his A horse. Crazy Beautiful was his B horse, who did kind of run like she needed a race. And so maybe Simply Ravishing does need a race. And that, you know, the ultimate target is the Oaks, but this is a grade one at Keeneland. You know, these are the kind of races you don't get too many opportunities for those. And when you're a Kentucky guy like McPeak, you want to win those. So I think he'll have her maybe not 100% crank, but ready to go. Whereas Malphat, I like that horse, but she had some break in her training. She was training really well, and then she had a break in her training for like a month. I'm not sure what happened. I tried to find out, and I never did. But she hasn't been training as well since then, at least based on the times. So I'm a little bit thinking that she might be more needing a race, or something's not quite 100% with her. So I would probably favor the three Simply Ravishing over the five, but those two seem, you know, like the best two horses in here. There are a couple others that you might be able to give a look at, and I'll be interested to hear if Scott or Duke are leaning in that direction. But to me, this one looks pretty chalky, and I'll go with the three as my pick.
Okay. Simply Ravishing ran a sizzle work of 46.2, best of 94 coming into this. Duke, you with a chalk here?
Yeah, kind of. I'm kind of agree with what Chris said. I am interested in why Malathot didn't run. She was supposed to run somewhere in February at Gulfstream. Somehow missed the race. I don't know. I didn't read what happened either, but something must have happened there because she missed a month of training. Otherwise, I think she's definitely the horse to beat. How she won the Demoiselle last time was, I don't even know, because Johnny V got her in all kinds of trouble, got shuffled back, and somehow she just still came running and won. It was super impressive. She's definitely the horse to beat if she's on her A game. Simply Ravishing's done nothing wrong either. I mean, she's one of these Mapeak, you know, he's got all these good fillies. She's been tremendous as a New York bred, believe it or not. She hasn't even run against the New York bred. She doesn't need to, because she's that good. The only other horse I think that maybe has a shot is Past the Champagne. She was a private purchase after her first start. I know they paid a ton for her. I think they paid $800,000 for her after her first start. She didn't even win. And she was pretty impressive. I just don't know about going two turns against the likes of the three and the five, Simply Ravishing them out. But I think it might be a little much to ask, but she would be my third choice. I got nothing crazy here.
Well, I have nothing crazy either. I will. That's an interesting observation, Chris, about Malatha missing some training. And I re-listened to last week's pod because I find it useful to listen to our pods after the races are over. And Matt Bernier made two workout observations. One was, one was how there was a horse called Step Dancer, who had worked a lot of workouts going into the race, and he thought that was peculiar. And then there was another horse, I forget what the horse was, but he was questioning whether the horse could handle, he was questioning the training because there was a break in the training, and both horses didn't run. So that sort of makes me think maybe I'd switch to Simply Ravishing as my top pick. But I also was impressed with that Malatha race where she ran a big number in the race before it. So I thought she was beatable. And then she still came back and won that the race in the slop and reacted from her previous race. But that's okay. She still won and she didn't react too much. So, and I don't know. I like that breeding. I mean, Curlin out of an AP Indy mare, Dreaming of Julia, was like a very fast horse. So I'm going to call my top pick Malatha, but I would also absolutely use Simply Ravishing if I play multi-race wagers. And I might not because there might not be value in it.
I just want one note on Pass the Champagne, who I think is kind of the interesting horse. One of the things you got to keep in mind in these grade one races for fillies is that, and stallions too. I mean, the money's in the breeding. And when they're paying $800,000 for this horse, they're probably thinking, breeding as well as racing. And they would be thrilled to be, grade one placed right in this race, I think. And so, I think, maybe she's good enough to win, but I think they'd be really happy if she runs second or third because her value, all of a sudden now they've got a grade one, stakes place mare, and the $800,000, if that's what they paid for her, that looks like a better bet, clearly if she wins, but even if she just runs second or third, that really increases her value. So that's just the one thing I'd throw out there.
Yeah, that's a good point because that's all I wanted. That's probably what their goal is. You're right. Probably get placed in a grade one, but she's talented. That's for sure.
Yeah. Just a lot to ask, but I mean, I think the connections will be thrilled with a second or third, so they may not really, they'd love to win. I'm sure. Maybe they think they can, but my guess is in the back of their minds, if not in the front, is, hey, if we could just run third in this race, we get our money back kind of thing.
Good point.
Yeah. The horse has a nice little pattern from first race to second race on the sheets. Just a small improvement. And like, I usually like that. And I like that she won with a small improvement. So I was a little excited when I first saw her, but then I thought, well, she's going to have a hard time beating the top two. And just looking at her breeding, it's pretty turfy. There's a lot of turf horses in the pedigree. Just a random observation. So, it wouldn't shock me if she won, and it won't shock me at all if she gets second or third. Let's move to the 10th.
Weird that we're agreeing on things.
Hey, in a way that gives me a little more confidence in going with the chalky horses, right? So the next race is the 10th. It's the Madison Stakes, grade one, 7 furlongs on dirt, purse of $300,000 for fillies and mares, 4-year-olds and up. And Duke, it's your turn this time.
So we talked about the first leg of the Stick Four as being a ton of speed, and now we have a race where there's not much speed at all. So I'm landing on Monday Call just for the fact that I think she's the controlling speed of the race. I'm a little worried about the 7 furlongs, but she's won at 7 before. And I think she is kind of that type of horse, need the lead. likes to be loose and running. And I know Giroux will get her out there in front and let her strut her stuff. And hopefully she can just go wire to wire with, you know, hopefully nobody goes. I don't think anybody really can run with her. They just don't have the type of speed she has. And there's a lot of talent in here. Don't get me wrong. Bell's the one is tremendous, tremendous horse, tremendous mare. She just shows up every time, but she comes from so far back that I think in a race with lacking pace, I think she might be a little up against it being, she'll be the favorite. And the other favorite, Kamari, I'm not sure about the 7 furlongs for her. She's very good too, but she runs on turf, dirt. She runs everything, but 7 furlongs is, I think, a little bit out of her game. I'm not sure why Wesley decided to go in here, but she seems like more of a 6 furlong or less type of filly. So I'm gonna go with Monday Call for hopefully wire to wire.
Monday Call. I gotta believe that 8-1 is a complete fantasy. That 8-1 morning line, yeah, but maybe 6-1. I don't know. Chris, what did you think?
I like Duke said, it's a little bit scary because he and I have been like in lockstep, and pretty much all three of us on these races. I mean, how could you play against Monday Call if you look at pace at all? I mean, the horse is going to be galloping on the front end. Nobody has any speed to go with her. So I agree. There's some nice horses in this race, but they're just up against it from a pace perspective. And I also agree with Scott that 8-1, I just can't believe this horse will be 8-1, based on it's so obvious that this horse is going to have an easy lead. So, you know, I don't know how you go against 3 Monday Call. I just don't know what the price will be. I know it won't be 8-1, but maybe there'll be some value because there are, you know, these are really nice horses in here. Again, though, I will say this is a Grade 1 sprint for fillies and mares. There's not very many of those out there. And again, some of these connections might be perfectly happy running 2nd or 3rd in a Grade 1. Now, like, you know, if they've already got a Grade 1 on their resume, which I think Bell's the one, I don't know if she's won a Grade 1 or not.
Yeah, she has.
She has. Okay. One. So, you know, that one, not so much with her, but Kamari and Sconson and, you know, Sinanus, all those other horses, you know, they don't have Grade 1. I doubt they're even Grade 1 placed. So, you know, I don't think they're going to do anything crazy. The reason I bring this up is I don't think they're going to do anything crazy, like try to send a horse who wants to come from out of it because they're afraid the other horse is going to steal it. They might say, hey, you know, we'll be happy to run 2nd or 3rd in a Grade 1. We're not going to take our horse out of its game kind of thing. That's the only reason I bring that up. So to me, Monday Call, I just don't see how that horse isn't just, you know, galloping along 3 or 4 lengths out in front, just setting her own pace and cruising early. And that will make her really tough to overhaul late.
Well, the only thing I'm going to say about Monday Call, I consider her a must use, especially because of that. And also because she has a race that's fast enough to win from last year. The one thing is she did run that race and then she had 2 clunkers, and that big race might have hurt her. And maybe she's the one that's trying to get some Grade 1 placement here.
Just a note though on that race, you know, when she ran her big race and won, that next race was much, much better than it looks. Because she got in just a hellacious speed duel of 4 graces and just set the table for Sconson to win that. But I mean, they just, you know, it was the exact opposite of the trip she's going to get in here. I mean, they were just ding donging it on the front end, an impossible pace going 7 furlongs. So, you know, I wouldn't hold that one against her. I think that one might have knocked her off. I think that was actually probably a better effort than the win. And then she needs some time off. But I would, you know, that race was a lot better than it looked. And the shape would be the opposite of what she's likely to see in here. I just want to make that point, that September 4th race at Churchill.
I'd like to read the scoop. You know, I haven't read up on the stories and the interviews with the trainers, but it'd be interesting to see what Brad Cox says about this horse and, like, you know, how well she's She doesn't, the workouts are kind of slow for her. And just, you know, generally Brad Cox horses are, they're working out pretty fast when they're ready to run, ready to win. So, you know, he's not exactly known for winning off the layoff, even though he does have like a 22% or something like that.
Yeah. It might sound kind of crazy, but to me, a horse like this, I really like it if they're not working super fast, because that means they're getting them to relax more in the morning, you know, and this is a horse that probably that's probably a good thing for that horse. So that actually might be a positive in that regard.
Okay. Fair enough. I'm not getting creative here at all. I'm a little worried about the pace scenario, but I like Belle's the One. I mean, just, you know, from a figure standpoint, she's won a 7-furlong race here at Keeneland. I think that was her grade one. No, that was the Raven Run. It was a grade two. Has she won a grade one? She must have won a grade one.
Yeah, the grade one was the Derby City race. It was September 5th at Churchill. That was the grade one.
Okay. Yeah. Where she beat Serengeti Empress by a nose. Yeah. And she had an insane pace to close into. So, you know, I understand the pace dynamic, and that's a negative. That's why I wouldn't single Belle's the One, but she does have a real nice workout coming into this. And, this is Neil Pessin's baby. And, that'll be my top pick, but I would use Monday Call. And, I have a little interest in Sconson as well. She ran a good number in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. And, she's been working out pretty good since her last race, and the trainer has a 206 ROI off a lifetime, off a 90 day or more layoff. So I would use all three of those, because I don't feel that strongly about any of these horses, and I don't know what's going to happen with that. You know, the lack of pace, but the potential for Monday Call still to not, you know, potentially throw in a clunker in her first off a layoff. Makes me think that, like, this is a race that's, it's, it kind of sucks the value out of pick ends, because I think you have to have a few in here, and that's just where I stand on the race. Belle's the One for me.
You guys make good points about the odds. The morning line odds here, I think, are going to be a lot different than what's gonna be the odds in the end. At the end, I think Monday Call and Sconson, I think, might flip flop. I think Sconson will be more like 6-7-1. I think Monday Call will be more like 3-4-1. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, seems feasible. All right, we'll go to it'll be interesting to see where you guys land if the chalk parade continues. In the 11th at Keeneland, it's the Bluegrass, a grade 2 1/8 on dirt for 800,000 for 3-year-olds. And Chris, what did you think here?
Well, it's an interesting race. I mean, there's some real interesting patterns in here and horses. And you've got the kind of de facto favorite right now for the Derby going. And he's a nice horse. He's hard to knock. He's been training well. He comes off a good race. So I'm not super negative on him. I don't think he lays over some of these. A couple of these, I think, have a chance to beat him. But, you know, he's definitely on a quality horse and the one to beat. The second choice is really interesting horse in the 3-horse Highly Motivated. This is a horse that really has never had a good trip in his life. And, you know, they clearly, the last was a prep and he had some trouble in there. He ran a really big race at Keeneland last year. You have to wonder a little bit if he's really bred to get this distance. He might be better eventually going at, you know, maybe not going like a 1 1/8, 1 1/4, but the jury's still out. And this race has absolutely no pace at all. And this horse breaks poorly, but if he breaks alertly, I think the 3-horse gets the lead and kind of controls the race. And he might even get the lead even if he doesn't break alert early, because there's just nobody in here that wants it. And so I think a lot of these deep closers are really going to be compromised by that. Castellano gets the call. He's an aggressive rider, so I think he will want the lead. And assuming the horse doesn't get completely left at the gate, and he has had troubles getting out of the gate, I think this horse could wire the field. Now, is there a lot of value at 3-1? I think that's probably not value, but not in the win pool at least, unless they really go crazy on Essential Quality. But I think maybe in the pick-ins, if you can beat Essential Quality, you are going to get some value, even if it's with Highly Motivated. So there's some other long shots in here I'm kind of interested in. I was trying to make a case for, and I still might, depending on the price, take a dip in the win pool on one or two of the others in here. But I think as the horse I think is going to win the race, I think it's Highly Motivated. I think he's not that far behind Essential Quality, if at all. And he might get, be able to be the controlling speed in a paceless race with a good rider. Castellano has won a lot of races. He's kind of hasn't been as good in recent years as he once was, but, this is the kind of race, he rides his best in. So I'm kind of getting chalky, but not too chalky with Highly Motivated at 3.
Well, Highly Motivated is going to, Essential Quality is going to be so pounded that Highly Motivated might do something crazy like 5-1. What did you think, Duke?
I think Chris is definitely, I have to investigate something, because he's saying everything what I was going to say, everything about Highly Motivated. He has never had a good trip Highly Motivated, except the day he won at Keeneland. He has had brutal, brutal, brutal trips, including his last start. Castellano got him in trouble. I don't know how, but he did. He got him in trouble. And this race comes up so, like you said, with no pace in it, he almost has to put him on the lead. I mean, he's stretching out to 1 1/8 miles from a mile. He's got to go forward, and there's just nobody in here. I mean, there's just nobody in here to keep him from the lead, really. I can't see. They all come from way back. So, I mean, I love Highly Motivated in here. I'm hoping he can get the 1 1/8 miles, because I think he might be the Derby horse too. I think he's very, very talented, and I just think I'll take 3-1. I think he might be lower than 3-1. I think the odds will get closer between the 3 and the 4. I think Essential Quality be favored, but I don't think by that much. I'm singling Highly Motivated in here. So.
Oh,
yeah.
Ooh.
Yeah, just one thing I'll add in there that I didn't mention is, the kind of that golden pattern, the Hot Rod Charlie, crazy, beautiful pattern, that's Highly Motivated, fits it to a T. So, I really expect a lifetime career kind of race in here. And given the fact he's had such terrible trips, it even makes it more so that he's likely to, run the race of his life in here. So I think the only real question mark with him is, A, if he has some extreme trouble out of the gate, that could compromise his chances. But even just a little bit of trouble, there's just no speed. I think he still can get the lead. And the other thing, I'm still a little bit nervous, that distance question. His pedigree doesn't scream distance. So that's a little bit of a question. But, I think he's the most likely winner in here. And if they bet Essential Quality down at 2-5, that makes him, like Duke said, maybe you do get the 3-1 or higher. And I think in the pick 4, pick 5, pick 6, he's probably much higher than 3-1. Essential Quality be a single in a lot of those plays.
Well, I'm gonna go against you guys, even though I think Highly Motivated is the most likely other winner. I'm very impressed by Essential Quality, and I had a chance to watch his race. I didn't, I hadn't seen his last race. I watched it. He was very manageable in the slop. He, basically he could go anywhere Saez wanted to take him. And he won handily, and he galloped out like his ears were pricked. And then I just had to wait and see what the number came up. And the number is good. It's like a Derby winning kind of number. Like, you know, horses that are that fast can win the Derby. And I don't see any negative here, because he won his first two turn race just off the pace. So if you look at the time form pace projector, it's got the three on the lead with Essential Quality right next to him. So, you know, just off of him. So I you know, and he's got that typical Brad Cox pattern where they're working fast, right? And he's got a 59 flat bullet work since the last race. And he's already got a win here, a grade one. To me, it's just like, just single him and move on. That's the way I'm looking at him. But, you know, since there's other chalk in the sequence, I doubt I'll even play anything. I mean, I looked at the seventh race and I didn't love it, so I wouldn't know where to go there. So I probably won't play the pick ends at Keeneland, but Essential Quality is just like, I just don't see any negative to this horse. He hasn't run too fast. He's won under various conditions. You know, I respect you guys trying to beat him with Highly Motivated, but I'm just going to stick with him.
So I will say one thing, and I'd like Duke to weigh in, although maybe he stopped tracking Oaklawn. But to me, that last race for Essential Quality was really dressed up, because on that day, the rail was terrible, and you wanted the extreme kind of outside closing flow that kind of dominated the entire card. And especially a sheet number on that day, I think it's going to be really inflated, because they're going to get extra credit for being wide when actually you should get less credit for being wide. So, you know, I think, Scott, that number you see on the sheets is really inflated. I think it didn't really run that fast, but I'd be curious to see what Duke thinks about that, if you have any opinion on what the track was playing like on that day.
Yeah, you're 100% right. The track was what I call a dead rail. So we label all these biases by letters and things, and we have that as a really strong dead rail that day. The only thing is, he broke from the one hole, which probably wasn't the place to be, really. But he did get out. He did get the horse outside pretty quickly.
Yeah, he was parked. He was parked wide even by the turn. I mean, he was wide.
Yeah,
on the
he
first
was four or five wide
turn.
Already by the time.
So that just kind of proves the point. The jockeys even the jockeys knew he didn't want to be anywhere near the rail on that day.
Very good. Yeah. Yep. Excellent point. And I'm taking a shot. I mean, I got nothing against Essential Quality, except the fact that he's going to be 3-5 and Highly Motivated is going to be in the 3-1 range, and Highly Motivated is going to be ahead of him. So I'm just taking the chance that I think Highly Motivated is as good as him, and I think he's going to get a pace, just a little bit of a pace edge on him. So that's why I'm singling Highly Motivated. I think value wise, I think that's just the way to go.
Yeah. And Chris, you know, by the way, if that figure was inflated, that's fine. I just wanted to make sure it wasn't too fast, right? Like if he had run like 4 points faster than I'm in the slop, then I would hold it against him. Then I would say like that might have hurt him. So it was fast enough to be respectable, but it also wasn't like a blowout, like peak effort that's going to put him on the sidelines.
Yeah, so I totally agree with you. From a pattern standpoint, it might be better, but it just shows you he's really not faster than Highly Motivated going into the race. And the thing is, the crowd will bet that race. They're gonna bet him down off of that 4.5 length win. So I mean, from a price standpoint, you're losing a lot of value because that race looks better than it really was.
I respect that. And like I said, I'm probably not going to play the race. I'm probably not going to play any pick ends because I don't really like the sequence, but it's going to be fun to watch.
Yeah. It will be interesting.
The only long shot I will mention just because is just because of the price is Hush of a Storm. He's been running on Polytrack lately, and that race wasn't too bad last time. There was actually some talented horses in there, and he's got, according to our clockers, he worked really good at Keeneland. So I think good horse for maybe tries and supers.
Yeah,
I'm interested in that. Yeah, I kind of like that horse. You know, it could poly pop off three races and you know, three wins. all at two turns, and it's got like a circle back sheet kind of pattern that that I like. So yeah, I mean, you know, if you were going to play somebody underneath, that's a horse I would include.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting. I like the thinking on that. The other horse that I thought was interesting in here was the two horse untreated. I know, you know, jumping into a graded, you know, this tough field off a maiden win is not a great way to go. And so I'm not super excited about that, but I like everything else about the horse. I mean, they did it. They sprinted him and he didn't do much in sprint, but I like the fact they actually went to Tampa Bay so they could get a two turn race in him as a maiden. And if you watch that race, I mean, he just pulled the jockey around. Jockey was just a passenger. He just pulled him around and won easily and galloped out well. And, you know, you could say that was probably, if he had run in the Tampa Bay Derby, he would have been right there. And that was only his, you know, second start, first route. You know, there's a lot of upside there. And he gets an inside post with Rosario. And, you know, I don't know what, if he might have more tactical speed than some of these other horses. I mean, the other ones, you just know they're stone cold closers. They, you know, they have enough of an established form where horses like Rombauer and Sitting on Go and Keep Me in Mind, you know, those horses are not going to be forward replaced. But untreated, lightly raced, you know, inside post, Joel Rosario, kind of a crafty rider sometimes. You know, they might have him up there in a garden kind of spot, you know, right just off of Highly Motivated, maybe sitting second or third. And that horse has some talent. This is probably a big ask, but, you know, that horse, I think, definitely has some talent and is kind of maybe the most interesting horse beyond the top two for me.
Yeah, I mean, that it's an interesting angle. And the fig for that last race, which was, it looks like an easy race, it was a good fig. I mean, not much slower than the other contenders, you know, a bit, you know, quite a bit slower than Essential Quality, but anybody else, you know, he's in the mix. All right, I guess that's all we have for that race. Did you gents have any other plays on the card or anywhere else?
Let's see, Saturday. Let's see, I might have a horse earlier in the card on that day. Let me see, race four. I have a note on a horse named Hat Tip. He's 15-1 on the morning line in race four. Maybe a good long shot for people to take a look at. Race four, the 12, Hat Tip.
What's the note that you have on him? I mean,
I keep track of horses to watch, basically. So I have a watch list that I always refer to before I start looking at the cards. He's just a horse that I have. He must have had a bad trip, or he must have had something. I don't know exactly. Actually, he had a bad trip at Sam Houston. It was two races ago. So he already has run since. So it's not really, he just might be a good long shot. He's better than his form maybe suggest. Looks like he's in a little tough. I haven't really looked at the race yet.
Chris, did you have anything?
In the next race, the fifth race, I have a little bit of a speculative play, but the 5-horse Paleo has been really training well. I remember watching a workout where he was training with Roadster, who was a pretty good horse and didn't run too bad off a layoff in a recent race. And he's making a second lifetime start against a pretty salty field. He's 20-1 on the morning line. And his only other start was way back in July. And, you know, we've talked about how, you know, he was basically like a middle school kid running back in July, and he might have developed quite a bit. And the fact that they have him working with good older horses like Roadster tells me that he's doing pretty well. You know, might run a big race off the layoff for Michael Stidham, who's sort of red hot right now. So 5 paleo. I'm not saying, you know, bet the farm or anything like that, but for 20 to 1 live shot, you know, if you're in a contest like the contest this weekend, I think this is a race in that contest. You know, paleo, the 5 horse would be a real interesting play. That's probably the only other one I had on the card at Keeneland.
How did you know he's been working with those older horses from like XBTV? Well,
XBTV tells you who they're working with, you know?
Okay.
And so.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you know, unless you get the workout report, there's no other way of knowing. So that's good information.
And the only reason I knew it was I was interested in, if you remember, I picked Roadster on our pod a while back. And I was watching his workouts and I said, who's this other horse? That was what I like this other horse. He looks pretty good. Who is it? And it was paleo. So I marked that down and then I saw him pop up in the entries. And I go, paleo, I know it. Where's that name? And I said, yeah, there he is. That's the horse. I said, watch this horse when he comes back because, you know, he might be a good one. So this is my chance to cash in on that little tidbit or not, you know.
Did Roadster finish second in that last race?
No, he led the whole way. He got beat like 3/4 of the length or length. You know, he finished fourth,
he ran
I
well,
think.
Though.
But it was pretty
he
good.
Ran
off
really, he ran really well, actually. He was on the lead for most of the race.
Yeah. And it's like a year layoff at a mile and an eighth, yeah. I think. So it was not a bad effort. He only beaten a length or so. So it wasn't a winning effort, but it was a good effort.
Okay, well,
hidden scroll returned on that Keeneland card too that day for Mr. Cox, who improved him about 20 lengths off of Mott last time. So he's an interesting horse.
Yeah, interesting, but no value. Like that's the seventh race just, that I was the seventh race that I was talking about, where like there's a lot of question marks. I did actually. I had a horse circled as a potential long shot in that race. And that is the 6 Mucho, who like he ran a good race 2 races ago. And then like he ran a clunker on short rest. And I think he, you know, maybe just the change of trainer. He was always fast as a 2-year-old. And since he just ran the best race of his life 2 races ago, you know, he might be ready to move forward and sort of realize his potential.
Yeah, that race, I'm afraid Hidden Scroll could run off the screen or he might flop, you know, you never know. He's sort of a fragile horse. But you know, Brad Cox, I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this horse, and the horse clearly has talent. So I'm afraid of that horse, but you know, a horse I do like in there is the 5 attachment rate. I'm always negative on Dale Romans in Florida, more on the 3-year-olds than the older horses, but he got a pretty good race out of this horse in Florida, and now he's back in Kentucky. So I attachment rate is actually a pretty good horse, and he's had a lot of bad trips in his career, and just things haven't really worked out well. But I think there's talent there, and I think 7 furlongs is maybe a perfect distance for him. So if Hidden Scroll doesn't run a monster race, to me, attachment rate kind of stands out, especially if they actually bet, you know, Flagstaff the way they always seem to bet that horse. He never wins. And they always bet him, and he always runs second or third. So, you know, if they bet the heck out of Hidden Scroll and Flagstaff, you know, you'd probably get some value on attachment rate. And I think he's going to run well. I just don't know, you know, if Hidden Scroll runs a 110 buyer or something, attachment rate's not going to beat him, and he might. But if he doesn't, to me, attachment rate really fits in there, the 5 horse in that 7th race.
You know, Hidden Scroll is going to be like even money in that race. I mean, come on. He was 1-2 in his last race, and he won by 2 lengths.
He won't be that low. No way.
You don't think?
I think he does have a following. I know he's like a horse that people follow, but no, I can't see him being. I don't think he's gonna be favored. Flagstaff's got to be favored. He's always favored. Flagstaff.
Yeah, they bet that horse. I don't know if it's the connections or what, but doesn't matter where he runs or who he runs against, he gets a bet.
I know even the last race, Chris, you were like, they always bet Flagstaff. And I said, no, this time I don't think they're going to because, you know, he finished 4th in his last race and he still went off at 2-1 and he finished 3rd in a 7-horse field. So you're right. Yeah, you know, he does always get bet. So
It's a very good race, by the way. That race is very, you know, nice horses.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it's a really quality at the top end. You know, there's a lot of quality. I'm just not used to landing on sort of semi-chalky horses like I was in here. So I don't know if that's necessarily a good thing, but I am feeling a little bit better that you guys tend to agree with me because I'm always nervous about liking a horse that I think is kind of, you know, more on the, usually it's hard to find value on a horse that's favored or second favorite, just because it tends to be more obvious. It's harder to actually find value. It doesn't mean you can't, but for me, I just have found it's usually difficult to do that.
All right. Well, we'll wrap it up. Do want to thank our guest, Duke Matisse. Duke, thanks for handicapping with us today.
Anytime, guys. Always fun. Always good to go over these big races and talk about the horses. It's always fun to just hear everybody's opinions, and hopefully we get to give some people some winners.
Hallelujah. I hope we did. And that will conclude show number 114 of the Sport of Kings pod. Good luck in the Keeneland Late Pick 4 and wherever you may be playing. And please enjoy the Brooklyn Boogaloo Blowout.
I'll see you on Sport of Kings. Cheers.
Giddy up.